Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
There'll be somebody that will promise you that I'll be here and I'll do this and I'll do that. But when Jesus makes a promise, he said it will not leave you ashamed. You won't be holding the bag whenever the rapture takes place. If I said I'm coming to get you, then all you got to do is get ready, because in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man is coming.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
We pray this recent sermon series has been a blessing to you. Let's go back into the message, Hope for Hard Times. This is part two from that series. Let's get back into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
There's a forgotten holiday called Thanksgiving. It happens before Christmas happens, but people don't want to pay attention to it because today it has much to do with Christianity, and we don't want that anywhere on our calendars. But regardless of whether you want to acknowledge it or not, you have still got to go by Thanksgiving before you get to Christmas. Before Jesus comes in the second coming, you're still have to gonna go by the rapture. And there will be a group of people sitting in this building this morning, and those of you watching online, that are ready right now, that if Jesus Christ was to come back, you would be ready right now to disappear off of this earth because your heart is right with God and you're looking for his coming. And then there's a group of people that are sitting in churches here and all around this globe that are coming and checking off their religious box. Their mind is not on the things of God, nor are they even paying attention to what's taking place all around them. In fact, their hope has been stolen by the things that have been going on in the world, and they are wondering in their mind, is Jesus going to keep his promise? But as I stand here looking at you today and looking into the camera of the thousands watching right now, I can assure you that God keeps his promises to 1,000 generations. And if Jesus said he's coming again, you'd better not take it to the bank. You better put it in your heart that he will come again. In fact, I love the fact that he translated to his disciples in John 14 and said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. I say to you today, let not your heart be troubled by what's going on in this world. You believe in God? Believe also in me," he said, "that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place." He's doing that right now for you. "And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again," he said, "and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And Thomas, that we call Doubting Thomas, asked the question, "How can we know the way? We don't know how to get there." Jesus said, and make sure you understand this, because there's been no other prophet, no other preacher, no other Messiah so-called in all of our days that has ever claimed that he would die, rise again, and then come back and get your dead loved ones and you off of this earth and take you to heaven when he comes, except for Jesus Christ, who'd emphatically declared to all of his disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father but by me." The rapture is a signless event, meaning nothing has to happen between now and Jesus coming in the clouds. So if you're looking for signs, you might as well put that to the side, because Matthew 24 is describing the days of the second coming. It's a sudden event. It's going to catch those that are unbelievers by surprise. Those that are believers who are looking for him will be looking and expecting him at any moment. The Bible says when Jesus returns in the clouds that masses of people will disappear from off of this earth. I'll say this to you now, that I've often wondered if that disappearance could not correlate with what they're identifying as an EMP device, electromagnetic pulse, that would literally zap the entirety of this nation. And I can assure you there are countries, including China, who have this technology right now, that would literally zap us back to the 1800s, to the horse and buggy, and every car, every phone, everything that has a chip in it, would be stopped dead still. So I just want to say to you, you might want to get you a mule or a horse or a bicycle. if you're planning on staying here. If you're not planning on staying here, then it'll be all right, because all the cars are going to litter the highway, and you can have mine and the keys to my house, because when he calls, I will be gone. Not one believer will be left on this earth after the rapture takes place. Not one. I want you to contemplate that for a moment. I'm taking some time here. I want you to remember this fact, that if you ignore the days of grace that we're in right now, and you reject the message that I am saying, and I don't want to hear it anymore, Pastor, because I got plans. I want you to know, if you miss the rapture, there will not be one believer left on this people planet at that moment. Go to church? Where's my friends? At that moment, it's going to be a turn on one another like you have never seen before. You think what's going on in the streets is something right now? This is a cakewalk compared to what the Bible says is coming upon this earth. That alone ought to make you want to get ready and take as many people with you. That is the blessed hope. This is the blessed hope of the return of Jesus Christ. This is not what the world calls hope, which is wistful thinking. I hope my brother comes over. I hope I get this job. I hope this. I hope that. We use that term so flippantly, but that's not biblical hope. The world's hope is empty and without faith and confidence in something absolute, which is the cross of Jesus Christ and the absolute assurance. That cross and what Jesus did on the cross is the faith and the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Why is that so important? Because what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me and for you and every person on this planet is the assurance that he will keep his word to 1,000 generations. It's important, not just his crucifixion, which is the assurance, the down payment, but his resurrection as being the first fruits from the dead gives me assurance that if he could pick up his own body, surely he can pick up mine on resurrection morning. Many are not enduring sound doctrine in these last days, and they opt out for feelings instead of faith. Rather than embrace biblical truth, one of the signs of the last days would be that people would reject truth and receive a lie and be deceived. And they would heap to themselves, as Paul told Timothy, teachers having itching ears. Tell me, preacher, teacher, prophet, whoever you are, tell me what I want to hear. Prophesy to me good things in the face of all that's taking place. Tell me what I want to hear. Teachers having itching ears. I want to let you know that if you're looking for an excuse to not serve the Lord, the enemy will give you more than what you could ever have. It is into that vacuum that Satan deceives many people already. And I submit to you today, without having a physical mark on their right hand or in their forehead, many people have already, by virtue of the spirit of Antichrist, taken up the mark of the beast. Because they've already embraced the system. They've already embraced the doctrine. Did you know that the devil has doctrine? The Bible says that he is full of doctrine. It's important for you to understand this in light of the passage of scripture that on Tuesday of this week I will recite and quote over the life and memory of our beloved friend and member of this church, James Simmons, who went home to be with the Lord a few days ago. Like every other believer that I have preached their funeral, I quote the passage of scripture, and I want you to open up to your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to go there in a moment. But I want you to understand, I'll quote this, but I can only quote this passage of scripture over an individual that I can have full assurance that they have lived their life pleasing to God and have left enough evidence behind of their salvation experience that I can quote it with assurance that Jesus will come and take them out of the grave. It's important for you to understand the background of what's going on at the Thessalonian church in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Here's the background. Paul planted the church as the pastor of the church. He planted the church at Thessalonica, and there were two associates that were with him, Timothy and Silas, that Timothy was his understudy. He was the mentee. Paul was the mentor. Silas was a sidekick with Paul that went with him in many locations. And they were with him after they had passed by several different locations that you'll find in the book of Acts chapter 17, of which they did not plant churches there, but by the order of the Holy Spirit, Paul planted the church at Thessalonica. The Bible said he preached in the synagogues, and many Jews were converted to Jesus Christ, even some Greeks. But the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ caused many that were there in the city of Thessalonica to get in an uproar. And the church asked Paul, be careful. You're in a place where they could kill you. It might be better for you to leave town. So Paul leaves town with Timothy and Silas, and they go towards Athens, and Timothy and Silas go in a different direction. And after a few months goes by of that church being planted there, Paul contacts Timothy, his mentee, and says, I need you to go back to the church at Thessalonica and check on, see how they're doing. Go over there and find out what's going on. And when Timothy then with Silas met up with Paul in Athens, and or in Corinth, I should say, and he met there and they had a discussion, Timothy brings the report, the church at Thessalonica is doing well. Well, that's wonderful. In the city where it's planted, where that's located, it was hell and evil on earth with false preachers and false prophets. In fact, Paul turns around and writes a letter of encouragement, instruction, and doctrine back to the church at Thessalonica. And you find that in your Bible in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. He writes to encourage them, but he also writes to give them clear instruction, because he found out that many of them were listening to false teachers and false prophets and false preachers that had come into the church at Thessalonica and sowed the seeds of a robbery of hope from them for their dead loved ones rising from the dead in that great blessed hope return of Jesus Christ. In fact, they told the people at the church at Thessalonica, these false preachers did, that there's no resurrection from the dead, and that when your loved one died, they're staying in the grave, and that's all there is, dust to dust, dust, ashes to ashes. But Paul said that's not true. He said to them, I've got to straighten this out, so he sends the letter. I want you to know that every false preacher and false prophet don't stand behind a pulpit. Some of them are coming on your nightly news and on the internet to try to steal hope from you that there is a return of Jesus Christ. If Satan could do anything, he would steal that one thing from you. He'd let you go to church every week, if you would even go to church. He would let you go on about your business and do what you want to do, and even act like you're serving the Lord. But without hope, which one of us would remain in this place to lift our hands and sing about a heaven that we would never see? I want you to know hope is critical to your faith, and faith is critical to your hope. And whenever Paul wrote about to the Thessalonians and concerning the conditions that were all around there, and the fact that this false doctrine was starting to take seed inside of the house, much like today when false teachers come and tell you that the rapture won't happen until the middle of the tribulation, that's directly contrary to the writings of the Apostle Paul and the doctrines from the Word of God. The believers there started questioning, just like today, is Jesus coming back? Is there any hope of the resurrection? This, my friend, is a tactic of the devil in these last days. Consider 1 Corinthians 15 and 19, where he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If I knew that what's going on all around our country, I had to continue to endure for years to come until I die, and then there's no hope of heaven, then ladies and gentlemen, just forget it right now. Let's live, party, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But the only reason why you're sitting in this building, whether you understand that or not, is the fact that you know at any moment, at any second, at any millisecond, any nanosecond, Jesus Christ is going to come. And that's the one element that kept the church and the early church moving in the direction of winning the lost and lifting up Jesus Christ and living a life pure before God, because they knew at any moment Jesus could come again.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, Remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.